Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And starting in verse 9, the Word of God says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The word slack there is bredutita. And it's talking about God not being impotent or unwilling to execute His promise. And when the word promise there is epagelia, and it means His announcement. And it's primarily a legal term denoting a summons or a promise to do or to give something. So God is powerful to fulfill what He has announced. Perhaps He gives you a call, perhaps you have prayer and He says that He answers prayer. God is not unable to answer these things. He is very powerful to answer these things. He is not slack. Nor is God unwilling. Often we ask ourselves, is God willing? We pray and we say, is God willing? And Peter there is telling us that, yeah, He is willing. That what concerns you, God is willing to take care of it. I don't care what it is. If it concerns you, God is willing to take care of it. And He has the wisdom and the power to do so. We will often say to ourselves in our circumstances, I don't know how this will come out because I don't know if God is willing that it should come out well for me. Well, what are you thinking? That God is willing that it should come out terrible for you? God is willing for you to be squashed. He calls you His beloved. That doesn't make any sense. God is willing that Satan should win in your life even though he shed his blood for you. That doesn't make any sense. Often we Christians tend to live in the things that make no sense. Because we are not keeping His character in the forefront of our minds. We acknowledge that yes, somewhere in the distance, this is His character. But He is a very distant God, is He not? But the Word of God does not say that He is a distant God. The Word of God tells us that God is a very present help in time of trouble in Psalm 46 verse 1. God is not distant at all. God is very present. God lives in you. How can He be distant and be in you at the same time? But we think to ourselves, because trouble has come, that for some reason God is distant and He is willing for us to perish. Well, this makes no sense. First of all, God promised you that in this life you will have tribulation. Right, well, He said they will hate you because they first hated me. So we are promised these things. But He also says, don't be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He also says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He also says that you will stand. He also says that underneath you are His everlasting arms. He also says that He fights your battles. God is willing to do these things. And God is not slack. When God does something, He is very thorough in the way that He does things. He is complete in the way that He does things. He is not slack. Today we're going to continue in our series on the character of God. That God is thorough in all that He does. How many people think that God will go halfway? Why do you think God will go halfway? Didn't the Bible say that if He spared not His own Son, how much more now freely with Him will He give us all things? He didn't hold back the one thing that was the most precious. He didn't slack on the hard thing. Why would He slack on the easy thing? But believer after believer still thinks that God will not come through for them. Why? They don't think that He's thorough. They think that He is slack. They think if God starts something in their life, that He won't finish it. They think that if God gives a promise, He won't come through for them. They think that if they ask, He won't answer their prayer. God is not slack. God is extremely diligent. And God is extremely thorough. And what God starts, He finishes. God doesn't get halfway with us and say, "You're not turning out the way I hoped. I'm going to quit." People do this. And people think God will do this with them. But God doesn't do that. God is not slack. If God started something, He will finish it. He is, after all, the author as well as the finisher of our faith. He is, after all, the one who produces His good pleasure in us. He doesn't quit on us. Why would He? He already shed His blood. God is not slack. God is thorough. And what He does completely. Now, in Exodus 14, Israel found themselves in trouble. And this was real trouble. This was a situation that was going to kill them. Behind them was the Egyptian army. In front of them was the Red Sea. There was no getting out of this. Now, in verse 16, God told Moses, because Moses was the head of Israel, God told Moses, "Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now, what does this mean? Why was He to lift up His rod? Was that to be dramatic so that Hollywood would have something cool to put on the screen? What is the rod? "Well, the rod and the staff comfort me. We will rule the nations with a rod of iron." What is the rod? Rod is doctrine. The Word of God is saying, and God said to Moses, "Lift up doctrine over your circumstance that looks like it's going to kill you." Lift up the Word of God in the impossibilities of your life. Why? Because while the circumstance may appear to kill you, or that it will kill you, doctrine will really tell you what is going on. So lift up your rod and apply it to your strength over the circumstance. Let the Word of God be your strength in the difficulties of your life. Because the Word of God is what defines your life in the difficulties. Don't let your circumstances or other people or failure or anything else dictate anything to you whatsoever. Because if I do that, then I live in the weakness of the situation. And in the weakness of my situation, I will be very fearful. This is what happened to the Israelites when they came up to the Red Sea. They were very fearful. Now, the fact that they were very fearful did not stop God from being faithful to them. It's not like he said, okay, I brought you up to the Red Sea. I know the Egyptian army is coming towards you. I pulled you out of Israel. You're up against a situation where you're probably going to die if I don't come through for you. And because you're afraid, you're on your own. I don't think so. That's not what happened. God gave Israel definition. And He gave it to them through His Word. And He spoke to Moses. And He said, lift up your rod. Lift up the doctrine that you have been given and live in the strength of your doctrine over the weakness of your circumstances. Why? Because He'll come through for you. That's why. Because He is a very present help in time of trouble. Now, in verse 22, the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, this is intense. Not because the Egyptians were behind them, and not because the waters were a wall, but because the ground was dry. The bottom of the sea was dry for Israel. They didn't have to slug through the mud. The bottom of the sea was dry for Israel. God didn't just say, I'm going to part the Red Sea and leave mud on the bottom. God was not slack. God even dried up the ground that Israel would walk on when He parted that sea. God didn't miss the details. God didn't overlook them, and they were not trivial to God that Israel should not walk in the mud. God wanted the entirety, everything that even remotely had to do with the Red Sea's presence, to be parted for Israel. In our lives, God does not overlook what we consider minutiae. It is just as important to God that the ground be dry as the Red Sea be parted. God was not interested in tormenting Israel in the process of delivering them. God didn't say to Israel, yeah, I'm going to part the Red Sea, but you're going to have to slug out a little bit yourself. After all, it's only right, isn't it? What a religious con... Have you ever heard of people saying something similar to that? Yeah, God will provide for you, but you're going to have to deal with some of that difficulty yourself. Not at all. The ground was dry. Now, it doesn't say that the sun baked the ground and that the sea was parted for 4 weeks before it totally dried out and then He sent Israel through. As soon as the sea parted, the ground was dry with it. When God healed the man of a palsy, He didn't need physical therapy. The man was completely healed. He had all his function, all his strength. He had absolutely everything that he needed to function. With us, when God comes through, He comes through in a thorough, complete sort of a way. God doesn't come through with good enough. God comes through with above and beyond. What happened after Israel parted the Red Sea? Well, then they had nothing to eat. They had no place. So what did God do? God didn't just bring them into the wilderness. And even when God disciplined Israel with the 40 years for unbelief, because they were still God's people, they belonged to God, He took care of them. Now, He didn't say to them, you're going to have to till the ground, and then you're going to have to move over there, and you're going to till the ground again, and you're going to move over there, and you're going to set up camp again, and till the ground. No, He just made it rain bread. Was that easy? Does God love Israel of old more than He loves the believer today? Well, my Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God did for them, God will do for me. In your circumstances, look to the Bible. If He did it for anybody at all, He will do it for you. I'm in the boat and there's a storm. What if I fall out? Then you'll probably bruise your knee. Because God's not going to let you sink. You're going to land on the water as though it were ground. God's not going to let you sink. God is not slack. God is diligent and God is thorough. God doesn't overlook the details of your life. God doesn't overlook the things that scare you. Can you imagine what that would have been like for Israel? Water, who knows how high, on either sides, and mud. That would be terrifying. But instead, God made it dry. Nothing. Not one single droplet of detail from the difficult thing that came against them could stand against God's provision. Nothing. Nothing of the Red Sea remained under their feet. Nothing. It was around them, but it didn't touch them. Nothing about the Red Sea touched Israel. Nothing about the Egyptian army touched one single person in Israel. The only effect was that Israel was scared for a while. But they didn't need to be. But even though they were, God came through for them. But they didn't need to be. Why? Because if they really knew God and His faithfulness, they would have known that the Red Sea would part and there would be no mud. Now, they didn't know His character. They didn't have the full counsel of the Word of God written out for them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit poured out as we do in the church age when He came down at Pentecost. But they had the Word of God spoken to them by God's man. They didn't trust entirely, but they trusted enough. A believer will sometimes say to themselves, I don't trust entirely and therefore I'm not worthy. Did you trust God enough to get saved? Well, you've trusted Him enough. Are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? Then you are worthy already. Because the blood makes you worthy. So you don't have to worry about your quantity of faith. You just believe Him enough. And once you are His, once you belong to Him, you're His responsibility. And every detail of your life is His responsibility. It's really that simple. Do you have a dog? Do you tell the dog go out shopping? Or do you buy the food for him and bring it right to him? Why is it that we think that we treat our dogs better than God would treat us? No. We are God's problem. We've always said, your life may be a train wreck, but it's God's train wreck. And God knows how to put all the pieces back together again. You know the Humpty Dumpty's problem? He wasn't a believer. He relied on all the king's horses and all the king's men, but the Savior could have done it in an instant. A heartbeat. You see, we think we're Humpty Dumpty, when in fact we're the beloved of God. Of course God will come through. It's not a question of whether God will come through. It's not even a question of how He'll come through. It's just a question of knowing that He will. And then you don't need to be afraid. And even if you are afraid and you don't know that He will anyway. Why? You belong to Him. you belong to God. Have you gotten... Say to yourself this evening as you're going to bed, I belong to God. I am God's beloved and I belong to Him. See what it does for your morning. You belong to God. It's really that simple. He's our strength and our refuge. He's our protection. Oh, they may come against you. Circumstances may go bad. But He's your protection. He is your strength. And He is your refuge. And He is your help. Hey, has it ever occurred to you that God will help you? Sometimes we get into these things and we say, God, please, if you will, help me. Just please. And you don't believe that He will. I got news for you. God will help you. Right where you are, God will help you. He's not going to worry about whose fault it is. God will simply help you. Why? Because you belong to Him. You want to know why? There's your answer. You belong to God. That's why. But I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. But you belong to God. That's why. You ever have something that doesn't maybe work the way it should? Something breaks and it doesn't work the way it should? And it was expensive to get it? Maybe a car or something? Well, I got a flat tire. I'm going to throw out the car. Or do you just fix the flat tire? You were expensive. God came to possess you and it wasn't cheap. We were not purchased with something as trivial as silver or gold. We were purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb. We were not cheap. God's not just going to throw out the believer because not everything about the believer is just so. God will take that believer and He'll fix him. What is it that's wrong in your heart? God will change it. What is it about your life that's not working right? God will change it. What is it about the way you think that's not right? God will change it. You belong to God. He is your owner, not just your master or your groom. He is your owner. You see, the very thing because of which God can do as He chooses in my life is the very thing that gives me complete assurance that He'll take care of everything in my life because it belongs to Him. It's that simple. When the Hebrew boys were in the furnace in Daniel chapter 3, it surprised the king when he saw four men and the three were put in. Now, the Hebrew boys didn't go into the furnace with a great deal of confidence that they wouldn't die. The Hebrew boys simply were confident towards God's ability toward them that as He chose, that's what would happen in their life. Now, to the natural man, that may not seem comforting because the natural man says, I want something. But in truth, when all is said and done, when my life is put together as a package, what am I going to say then? When I see how the plan had actually played out, I'm going to say, thank God it went God's way. You see, sometimes because I don't know the end from the beginning, I don't know what the result will be. But I'll tell you what the result will be. God's way will stand. God does according to all His good pleasure. It is His pleasure to give me the kingdom and I am His beloved and that's what the result will be. Sit right there. That's the end of the story. He says in Isaiah 41, fear not thou, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. said, I'm your God, and I'll strengthen you, and I'll help you, and I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. It is that simple. God helps you. God upholds you. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, and God will strengthen you. Folks, no matter how bad your circumstances may look, you're still God's. My wife gave me something yesterday. She was praying, and she gave me something yesterday that God had shared with her. And it was Psalm 64. And turn there, please, for a moment, because this is a remarkable portion of Scripture. This is how the believer's life will go. And if your life hasn't gone this way yet, rest assured it will. If you have anything going on with God at all, this is what's going to happen to you. In verse 1, the Word of God says, Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Now, I find it interesting that the psalmist didn't say, Preserve my life from the enemy, but from fear of the enemy. Why did he say that? Because he already knew the enemy was going to be taken care of, that he was conquered. But he wanted to be preserved from fear. And then he says, Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Folks, this is going to happen to every fruitful believer. The wicked will take counsel against you, and there will be an insurrection against you. If you have anything going on with God at all, this will happen from time to time. It won't happen all the time. It may not even happen a lot, but it will happen from time to time. Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So they rail against the believer. They lie against the believer. They talk about the believers behind the believer's back. They conspire against the believer and they try to harm the believer, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Has it ever seemed like the wicked are never afraid of being wicked? That's because they have no fear of God. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of lying snares privily. They say, Who shall see them? They search out their iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both in the inward thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep. Now get this. This is what the wicked will do toward us. But this is how God responds. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody was shooting at me and it was a person, that would be enough to put some fear in my heart, perhaps. But if God is shooting at you, He doesn't miss. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider His doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Folks, when things go against you, and often it will include people, it doesn't have to, but often it will. When people start railing against you behind your back to cause you harm, God hears it. And the very things that they spoke against you shall work against them. And God will make sure of it. God is not slack. When God deals with someone, He deals with them in their entirety. Now, I have seen what happens, and I've also heard from other believers who've seen in their own lives what happens when God gets angry with an individual. People come, unbelievers, people who hate God and therefore they hate the believer, come against the believer and bad things happen. I was talking to a friend I know who's a physician, and this person told me that there was a professor in medical school persecuting them because of their faith. They took a stand because of faith where they would not abort a child, a living child. And the professor took a stand against them and other Christians. That professor was utterly destroyed. He lost his license to practice medicine. He lost his position at the university. He lost everything. Why? Because that is what he tried to do to them. A person who sets a snare will fall in it. That's a promise from God. If somebody sets a snare for your life, they will be in the snare. When Haman set a noose for Mordecai, Haman hung on the noose. Now, everything was going against Mordecai, except for one thing. God was on his side. And it didn't matter if the entire Babylonian army would try to kill Mordecai, because Haman was the general over the entire Babylonian army. The noose that Haman set hung Haman. You cannot in any way set a snare against a believer and do well. It's not possible. That professor was fortunate to have his life. I know of another situation where a wicked unbeliever conspired against a child of God and paid for it with his life. I know of situations where people railed against pastors and God, maybe it was coincidence, but I don't believe in those, gave them throat cancer. You cannot stand against the child of God. I don't care if it's a situation, I don't care if it's a person, I don't care what it is. You cannot poke God in the eye and end up well. When somebody comes against me, and this happens from time to time, you guys know that. When somebody comes against me, I generally get a little bit afraid for them. Because I know what they're doing and they do not. And so I get a little bit afraid for them. Because that makes God angry. And I would not want to be the recipient, nor can a believer ever be, but I would not want to be the recipient of God's anger. But some people are. Why? Because He's not slack. God takes care of that which is His. And He takes care of you thoroughly. See, when the Hebrew boys went in the furnace, they didn't smell like smoke. They were not charred. Their clothes were not singed. Their hair was not singed. They were not burned. The only thing that happened is the bonds were burned off. The bonds were removed. God did not miss the details. Nothing about them was damaged in the furnace. God did not miss the details. But the result was that those who were watching what was going on in the furnace got to know that there was a God in Israel. And that He was, in fact, the God who delivers. God is not slack. God is so unbelievably thorough with everything that we think of as minutia, and yet to Him it's all important, that He would not even leave a drop of water in the bottom of the Red Sea for Israel to have to cross. Why? When God does things, He does them thoroughly and completely, and He leaves nothing at all undone. Amen?